We are moving in the book of Acts. Thanks to Christy Tapp for her artwork as she's going through. I love looking at her Facebook post as she's picturing that. We see the upper room there as the Holy Spirit fell down upon them. And as Peter began to preach God's message that Jesus is the cornerstone. And then this man named Saul was ravaging through, killing Christians. And he was converted and his name was changed to Paul, and then we see the boldness, the call of boldness to be a witness, and that the gospel was to go to the ends of the earth, and that God is in control. Love it, don't you? If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we will be in Acts 2, 42. For those of you who have been here for a while, this ought to be familiar to you, Acts 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are still working. I pray, God, that you'd give us ears to hear, Lord, that you would ignite in us a passion and a fire to be your witness, Lord, to carry on what was started here on in Acts. Lord, help us to be people who gather to be a bold witness for you. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I do realize that there is a judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Using Acts 2 there, 42 as our foundation for the message, we see that the book of Acts declares to us and shows us the ever-expanding kingdom of God. Now, we've preached through the book of Acts through the time that I've been here as your pastor, two different times, one back in Grassy Lick and another time when we were here in this place. And I'll never forget, I think this was the time that you learned a memory verse. Acts, yep, yes, Chase, he did. Acts 1:8. I don't know if you still know it or not, but you knew it then. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, we will go to the question that was asked before that verse came. In Acts 1:7, verse 6, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Jesus, he had been resurrected, he appeared to the disciples, he's with them for 40 days, he began to talk with them and to show them what was to come. And he was telling them that he was going to send back to the Father. And this was the question, and when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, let's just stop right there. What are they asking? They're still not quite fully understanding of Jesus' mission. Or is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Remember, as we read through the Gospels, when Jesus is born, he's declared as the Messiah. And the question might be, this is the Messiah. Is he going to deliver us? Is he going to save us? Is he going to bring the peace of Jerusalem now? And Jesus said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. He tried to tell them about his death and resurrection, but they still didn't fully understand it. And when he was crucified, they all scattered and hid and wondered, we must have missed it. But then, 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the grave, and he encountered his apostles, and they're excited, they're rejuvenated. Now they believe that Jesus is the conquering king, but they're still looking for a physical kingdom. And so they asked this question, is now is the time, okay? We thought it was when you were here and when your ministry was here, but then when you were crucified, we realized that wasn't it. But then when you was resurrected, we got excited again, and now Now's the time. Now notice what Jesus says. So they asked that question there in verse 6 and verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He says, you're asking the wrong question. That has nothing to do with you. The day that Jesus sets up his kingdom in a physical realm, that's not your concern, he says. You don't need to be worried about that. Now, I know in our time, in our season right now, we have a tendency, there are some folks who are wondering, is now the time? Is now the time? Is Jesus coming back? I mean, look at the plagues that's plaguing us. Look at all this stuff that's going on. Is this the setup? Is this when it's going to come? Jesus says, wrong question. Wrong focus. That shouldn't be your focus. That's not what you're concerned about. It's not for you to know the seasons and the times that the Father has fixed. Because, see, the Father has fixed certain times, and it's going to happen when the Father says it's going to happen. There was a fixed time when Jesus was to be born. There was a fixed time that Jesus was to be crucified. There was a fixed time that Jesus was to be resurrected. There was a fixed time when Jesus ascended back to the Father. And guess what? There's a fixed time when Jesus will return. And so what do we do in the meantime? So what is it that the church is supposed to be about, and what should be our focus? He tells us there in verse 8. He says, you're not supposed to be worrying about the season, the epochs, and the times that the Father has fixed, but you, he says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and then in Samaria and then to the end of the earth. The focus and what you need to be worried about and focused on is to be my witness. That's it. Why? Because if Jesus comes back in 2022, what's our task? To be a witness. If he comes back in 2026, 27, or 31, or 33, what should we be doing between now and then? To be his witness. What if Jesus doesn't come back until another 2,000 years? What's the church's mission? To be a witness. That's what we got to focus on, to be a witness. That's what he sent his disciples to. You are to be my witness. And what we see in the book of Acts is what was started in Jerusalem moved throughout the ends of the earth. Guess what? The church is not like Las Vegas. What started in Jerusalem wasn't to stay in Jerusalem. What started in Jerusalem was to go throughout all Judea, then it was to move to Samaria, then it was to go to the end of the earth. It was to start in Jerusalem, but finish to the end of the earth. It's moving. There's progression. It's forging ahead. The church is on mission. So we have a mission statement. We go and invite people to who? Jesus. Our going is a witness. We go to be a witness. We love people where they are so that they what? Connect to Jesus. Our loving is a witness. So our going is a witness. Our loving is a witness. And we gather to worship, learn, and celebrate who? Jesus with one another. And our gathering is to be a witness. So we got to go, and we got to love, and we got to gather. Amen? We got to gather. The church is gathering. In Acts, we see the church gathering. In Acts chapter 1, when he tells them that you're going to receive power, he tells them to go and wait. They're in the upper room, and what they're doing, they are praying. the disciples, along with the women, they're in the upper room. There's about 120 of them, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're waiting. They're waiting for what Jesus promised, the power of the Holy Spirit. And on the day in the upper room, we call this the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down as tongues of fire, something extraordinary happened as they began to speak the word of God, and the people there that was there, because it was the celebration, that there was people, Jews from and people from all different nations, they heard them speaking in their native tongue. It was supernatural. If it would be like if I was in a mixed group and I'm preaching in English, if someone didn't speak English, they began hearing it in their own language, and it specifically says their own dialect. And some people who were on the outside looking in that didn't understand it, they heard all this stuff going on, they said, they're a bunch of drunk people. And Peter stood up and said, no, it's only 9 a.m. It's too early for that. No, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel that said, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And the church was empowered. The church was emboldened. And they began to preach. And as Peter preached, there were some that were cut to the heart. Now, then they go on, and they're going on, as it was their custom, to be dedicated to the prayers. And there was a lame man. It's what Pastor John read to us. And Peter and John, they healed this lame man, and it caused such a disturbance that they didn't like that, the religious leaders, and they brought Peter and John in and told them not to ever preach in the name of Jesus any longer. And they said, you're going to have to judge between you and then God whether it's right for us to obey you rather than God. But for us, we can't not preach in Jesus. We have to. We have to preach in the name of Jesus. We cannot not do it. So they flogged him, they scourged him, and they sent him out, and they went and they gathered with the church, and guess what they did? They prayed. They didn't complain, they didn't whine, they didn't gripe about that they were persecuted, they just went and they prayed. And what did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. They prayed for God to move, to work mighty works among them, and to give the servants the boldness to preach God's word. Why did they need that prayer? Because they were going to face persecution. And what was the mission that Jesus gave them to do? To be his what? Witness. You see, the church was very clear on what their mission was. It was to be a witness. And they were to preach the good news, and they were to proclaim the good news of Jesus in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And what did the church need to have in order to do that? They needed the boldness to press on. And so they gathered together to pray together, to encourage one another, and to pray for the boldness of God to be released in their lives. All through the book of Acts, we see the church gathering together, and they're praying, and they're fellowshipping, and they're ministering and serving. Acts 12, too, it's an interesting story. I'm glad it's kind of in there, because it doesn't make me feel so bad sometimes about praying and believing, but then not really believing. Have you ever prayed for something and you believed it could happen, but then in the back of your mind, you didn't think it really was going to happen? Am I the only one that's ever done that? And so they're praying because Peter's been arrested. Y'all read the story. Those of you who've been reading through Acts, you read the story, and Peter's in prison, and an angel comes and rescues Peter. It's a supernatural event, and Peter doesn't even kind of know if he's in a dream of what's going on, and the angel begins to unlock his chains, and he's moving him through, and what are they doing at the home? They're praying for Peter, praying for God's protection, and praying for his release. Then all of a sudden, they hear a knock at the door. Who's that? And this girl goes to the door and she looks and she sees it's Peter. And she goes back and she says, "It's Peter's ghost." "It must be a ghost. It's Peter." And then they're like, "It must be a ghost. No, it's Peter." And Peter finally comes in. They're like, "Whoa, this is amazing." God answering prayers for the purpose of the church to continue to be his what? Witness. We gather to encourage, to grow, to learn, so that we might be his witness. Acts 20 tells us on the first day of the week when they gathered together, they were breaking bread on the first day of the week. This is an indication here in Scripture that we get the practice of coming together and worshiping the Lord on Sunday rather than on the Sabbath, the Saturday. Because why did the church begin worshiping on Sunday? What happened on Sunday? Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday. It was the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the grave, so it's the first day of the week that Christians began gathering together so they can worship the risen Lord. And so Sunday is the day that we come together as God's people to gather together, to break bread, to fellowship, to worship with one another, and we get to worship the risen Savior. And the church has been doing that ever since the beginning there, and it will do that all the way until he comes back. The church gathers. We got to gather. We go back to Acts 2:42, and let's look at that a little bit further. And they devoted themselves. This is a term of commitment, of devotion, of dedication. They devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. They were a learning community. And in Acts 2:42, this is where we get our seven purposes of the church that we try to structure our church on and try to make sure that we're living these out. It's learn, belong, worship, pray, serve, give, and invite. And we'll see this here in this text. But they were committed to the apostles' teaching. Why are we doing 16 weeks through the New Testament? Because we need to be people of the word. They were committed to the apostles' teaching. Where do we receive the apostles' teaching? Through Scripture. If we want to be committed to the apostles' teaching, then we've got to be committed to Scripture. And if we're going to be committed to Scripture, we've got to be reading it and we've got to be listening and hearing it. Amen? And so they were people of the Word, and we've got to be people of the Word. We got to know God's Word. And it says they were devoted to the apostles, the teaching, and the fellowship, or the church. That's where we get the word belong. They belonged together. They were a fellowship. They were a church. They were a gathering. The church in Greek is ekklesia. It means an assembly or a gathering. They were a church, a gathering. Now, when we think of the church, there is the invisible church, the church that if you're born again, you're a part of God's family, and that if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what church you go to, you're a brother and sister in Christ, right? You can meet someone that doesn't go to your church, and if they're a believer, you're a brother and sister in Christ. There's that church, but then in the New Testament, the majority of times when it uses the word church, it's referring to a local gathering or a local body of believers like Living Water Church. We are a ecclesia. We are a gathering. And as this church, it should be our desire and our goal to be a what? Witness. It's a witness. And so when we come together, we encourage one another. We lift one another up. Hey, we can live out this faith, amen? Aren't you glad that we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to live this life out? Aren't you glad that you don't have to do this alone? Hey, no one has to sit in silence. If you're struggling with something, you've got a church family to come and say, man, I'm struggling. I need help. I need some prayer. No one needs to ever sit in silence when they're a part of a church. If you're going through emotional stress, whatever it might be, if you're battling an addiction, if whatever's going on in your life, if you've got brothers and sisters in Christ who can come along, that's what the Bible says, is that we must share one another's burdens. In this, you fulfill the law of Christ. That's in Galatians. That we can lift each other up, encourage one another, support one another, communicate with one another, to be here for one another. That's what a church is to do. It's a gathering, it's a fellowship, it's a place where we belong with one another. Not only did they were dedicated to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, but to the breaking of bread. That's worship. We get to worship together. We get to worship the risen Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. Aren't you glad that we get to come in here every Sunday and worship Jesus and the fact that we have been forgiven? Whew. Isn't that good news? Because there's sometimes when you just completely blown it all week long. Amen. Anybody just blown it? You just had a bad week and you walk into church, you're like, but then you remember that he makes his mercy new every day. Aren't you glad to know that no matter where you've been and what you've done, and when the Holy Spirit brings that to your forefront, hey, you shouldn't have thought that, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have did that, you can say, Lord, you're right, forgive me, I messed up, but I'm glad that you love me and your grace will forgive me. Thank you for your mercy. That ought to give us enough reason to come in here and to celebrate and to worship. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me peace, that if something were to happen to me today, that if I were to die, that if I were to leave this world, I don't have to worry about where my soul goes. I don't have to worry about hell. I know that my soul is secure in the hands of Jesus and that heaven is my home. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. That's something to celebrate, amen? We worship Jesus. We get to celebrate Jesus. We get to pray, and then we're dedicated to the prayers, lifting one another up in prayer, praying for boldness of continuation of mission. We have got to continue to be a praying church, and even more of a praying church. The altar time, it's a time where we can come and pray, where we can come to pray for one another. Sometimes you might just say, Pat, I just want somebody to pray for me. We need to be able to do that. I know not everybody's comfortable at the altar, but maybe at your seat, but prayer. And then also, we need to be praying for the boldness. Can I ask a favor of you? As one of your pastors, Pastor BJ, Pastor John, myself, we need your prayers. Would you pray for us that we may continue to have boldness to declare God's word? Would you pray for the members of Living Water Church? You say, I don't know every member. You don't have to know every member, but would you pray for the body of Living Water Church to be emboldened to be a witness? Are we praying for the mission? Because they did in Acts, they were praying for boldness of communication so that they could be a witness. Why? Because Jesus said, don't worry about all the times and epics and seasons. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to empower you to be a witness. Where? It's going to start in Jerusalem. Then it's going to go to Judea. Then it's going to go to Samaria. Then it's going to go to the end of the earth. It's going to start in Montgomery County. Then it's going to go to surrounding counties. Then it's going to go through the state to the end of the earth. I'm thankful to see what God's doing, because what God is doing here in Living Water Church is here in Montgomery County, but it's already impacted other counties surrounding us, hasn't it? There's several of you who attend here and are part of here that aren't in this county. And as we begin to grow and to expand and to move as churches, as we begin to begin praying, developing opportunities to do church plants in counties surrounding all through the state and church missions, and as we begin to be a witness everywhere we go, it just begins to expand, doesn't it? It begins to grow, doesn't it? What started here doesn't stay here. It continues to move. It continues to flow. It's Living Water Church. It flows through. We want the grace of God to flow through. It says also there in 43 that in all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together had all things in common. They were serving one another. They were sharing with one another. They were using their gifts. I am so thankful for the servants of God of Living Water Church, because we wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't for you. Living Water Church wouldn't be the church that it is if it wasn't for faithful believers who put on that servant hat and said, I'm going to serve Jesus. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus. And I just want to honor, I just want to serve you. All of the people that it takes to do on Sunday morning, thank you, cafe workers. Thank you, greeters. Thank you, tech team. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, children's church workers, nursery workers. Thank you for everyone who makes Sunday morning possible for people to come in here to gather, to have a good experience so they that might hear the word of God. Amen. I got a text by Jeff during that winter fiasco on 64. You know, you remember when all that happened and all the cars were, it was crash, it was cars everywhere. And Jeff sent me a text and said, hey, Dallas and Pastor BJ and myself, Dallas was working the rescue team, and he began, all of the motels were closed off. Awful. And so I was shut up in quarantine, and they said, hey, we're bringing people to the church so they can sleep here through the night. Amen. And how awesome was that? What is that? That is being a witness. That's serving. That's having a servant's heart. That's saying, I'll do whatever I can do to help somebody else, so that when they're in a difficult time, they can know that there's a place called a church that will love them. And we, as we begin to serve and reach out, that's how God begins to move. And it says there in verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were generous, weren't they? They gave. And church, can I just say thank you guys for your faithfulness and your financial giving to the work of what's going on? Because what you're doing is not just impacting here, it's expanding. When that tornado ripped through the west side of Kentucky, and we threw out, hey, you wanna help? We had like a 2-week window there where if somebody wanted to give to help relieve some pain in those lives there, that you could give if you'd like to. And so I was able to talk to 4 different pastors in Western Kentucky and hear their stories. And some of them, their community was devastated. There was one that lost a church member in the tornado. There was one pastor who their whole backside of their church was blown open, just split, just busted open. And because of your all's generous heart, we were able to send $9,000 that way to help bless some people there on the west side of Kentucky. Yeah, so thank you guys. Thank you for your generosity. Because what does that do? That is a what? That's a witness. That's a witness to the gospel of Christ. And it says they were praising God, verse 47, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were an inviting church that God was moving, and day by day people were being saved. How awesome is that? Now, the Lord rebuked me in the first service over a statement. and corrected me when I was down here doing my closing. I made a foolish statement. I said, wouldn't it be great to be able to see something like that? Because in my flesh, I don't know if that could really be done, but in my spirit, I would like it to be done. And I had just a too narrow of a mindset about that verse. I was selfishly thinking, I would like for Living Water Church to experience a day-by-day conversion. And as I was wrapping it up, it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, Grant, I am saving people day by day. Amen. I am saving people day by day. The mission is going on. The church is moving. It cannot be stopped. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And there is the gospel being preached throughout all the world. And guess what? Day by day, people are coming to faith in Jesus. Somebody say amen. That's something to celebrate. I just want our church to be a part of that. What about you? Living Water Church to be a part of what God's doing all throughout the world, that still today the Holy Spirit is going forth in power and the preached word of God is going forth and he is convicting people and calling people to himself and the lost are being saved and it's happening in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts makes a shift. It shifts from a focus on Peter to a focus on Paul. Now, Paul had this ambition, this God-given direction that he was to go to Rome. And in Acts chapter 20, you all will read that in the next couple of days. There's a stirring in his heart, and he calls the elders of Ephesus together. And he says, guys, I want you to know, I've got this, the spirit in me is moving me, that I got to go to Rome. But the spirit's telling me that nothing but danger's ahead. But I have to go. And he tells him, I'm not going to see you again. There's just something, I've got to go to Rome. Now, why was Paul so focused on going to Rome? Okay, now, the book of Acts, Luke, who wrote Acts, in his gospel gave us the birth of Christ. We have the birth narrative of Jesus. In Acts, we have the birth narrative of the church. Okay, Day of Pentecost. What Luke is doing all through the book of Acts, as you read it through, he is showing how the kingdom of God is unstoppable. And as you read through it, you read and you see that the gospel floods Jerusalem, goes through Judea, then goes through Samaria, and Rome was the most powerful nation on earth. And to go to Rome was to go to the end of the earth. And Paul had a mission to carry the gospel to the end of the earth. Now, I don't have this verse on the screen, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, when Peter and John were arrested, and then they were flogged and then released, and they came back together as a church and they began to pray. In Acts 4, 29, now watch this. This is key. It says, this is their prayer. Grant your servants to continue to speak the word of God with all boldness. That was their prayer. I said that at the beginning of the message, didn't I? Their prayer was that they would have boldness to declare the gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay. Well, the last verse of Acts reads this. In Acts chapter 28, Paul is in Rome, and it says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all what? Boldness and without hindrance. What's Luke telling us in the book of Acts? That the gospel is unstoppable. There is no king and there is no kingdom. There is no nation, there is no president, there is no empire that can shut up and stop the kingdom of God. It will prevail. We're on the winning team, folks. We win. Jesus has won. When Jesus returns, and he will. You say, when? The day he fixed it. When he returns, guess what? We're not fighting with him. We're just along to celebrate. Because it says he defeats his enemies by the power of his word. For the sword comes from his mouth. His word defeats. And we as God's people get to proclaim the victory of Jesus and the conquering that he did at Calvary so that we could be saved. And that if anyone believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. For there is no other name under heaven where men must be saved than at the name of Jesus. For he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and there is no other. Every knee, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Do you know him? Do you get to celebrate with him? I hope you do. This morning as a church, guess what? We gather. We gather so that we can be emboldened and empowered to be a witness. Because here is the pep talk. Here is the in the locker room. Out there is the game, right? When we leave these doors, that's when Satan tries to punch you in the face, right? It's easy to be a Christian in church. It's easy to sing. It's easy to be a Christian here. But it's when we walk out there that the enemy begins to attack. And so we need boldness. Boldness to be what? A witness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.